Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, August 25th. It is going to be a different episode than you are used to. We are just like you, probably wherever you are, pretty down today. It's going to be a tough one, but we are glad you are here. We are glad you are watching. Before I get started, I did talk to Sean Ross Sapp. All proceeds of this show will go to the Bray Wyatt family, the Rotunda family. So just so you know that, so your super chats will all go to his family. So it's been a rough almost 24 hours, 18 hours. But we'll go ahead and start the show like we usually do, Maggie. I already know this answer, but how are you?
It's been a rough day, Rob. The way, like, people find out about news like that is never a fun thing. It's, because recently in Bulgaria, it's been, another heat wave. Naturally, I couldn't sleep last night, and I took my phone, and news just came out. And I was like, this is a huge freaking mistake. Like, that's, you know, denial. And I've shared this multiple times on our show. I really, really hate how delayed my emotional reactions are, for good and bad, but like both ways. And of course, denial hit first, and then I saw that you had texted me that Bray Wyatt has passed away, and I'm like, no. Like, I refuse to believe that this was the reality that I was living in. And because it was, I was kind of sleepy. I did post a picture of Brody Lee and Bray when they were a part of the Wyatt family. Closely after that, I fell asleep. And then I woke up, and I remember doing this. And I remember this happening, but I wondered if it was real, because it kind of seemed like a fever dream, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I went on to Twitter and saw that everyone was still mourning, and a lot of people were just finding out about it. And I'm like, oh, case, so it was real. And that's when it hit me. You know, of course, the moment I had to start getting ready for work and going to work and be professional and everything, the good thing was that I didn't actually have as, like, it wasn't that busy today during the day. So I had time to sob like a 2-year-old child a lot. It's kind of unfair, you know, because the last time you and I had such an emotional episode of our show was when we were talking about Jay Briscoe. The only difference that there was I actually had time to process, because it happened on a Tuesday and our show is on Friday, and this is just still so incredibly fresh. He was 36 years old, Rob. He was 36. He had like 4 children, a wife. It's just so incredibly heartbreaking, and you can't help but want to hug each and every person from that family. It's this kind of thing, like I don't have a family. I never, you know, that kind of family. I never wanted kids because that's the pessimist in me thinking that that's such a, you know, serious and real thing to have, you know, family and children. And if something ever happens and those children are going to be heartbroken, and I'm like, I really hate to be that person, but like, kids are something special. And those kids, I mean, God, their father was so awesome. Like, he just one of a kind. What an amazing talent Bray Wyatt was. Naturally, the moment I saw the news, I immediately thought about Corey Michaels, our friend Corey, because he shared multiple times with me, like, we've had conversations about Bray Wyatt a lot. And Bray Wyatt, he had a huge effect on Corey. And we all, like, everyone from our community, you know, the coexisting community, we adore Corey and we adore his style, his poems, and his work and everything. And you can see Bray Wyatt in his work a lot. So naturally, I thought about Corey immediately. I spoke to Corey today. You know, Bray Wyatt's fan base is on a different level. Like, you know, like,
oh yeah,
every wrestler has a fan base, but like, there are specific fan bases, like Mercedes Monet, Bray Wyatt, like those sorts of fan base.
He brought fans back to an extent.
To wrestling. Yes.
I saw a couple of people, like one of my best friends, his name's Patrick. He was not watching wrestling for the longest time, and he got back into it because of Bray Wyatt. And I'll tell a funny story about this. My old roommate, we talked about, I used to, like, obviously I just said my old roommate, we talked about doing the We're Here one night, because I still had my key, and we were going to, like, park in the back, just go up and wait for him, because we knew he was coming back from the bar, and we're just going to wait with a lantern and just wait for him to go upstairs and just turn on the light. We're here. I mean, that's how much of an effect.
So awesome.
You know, we would have scared his, well, you know, but.
I know. It's just, when rumors started going around that he was returning, you know, last year on at Extreme Rules, I made a comment on our show, which I still stand by this. As a huge David Lynch fan, I can see, you know, styles of David Lynch in Bray Wyatt, because like, his way of storytelling has a lot in common with how David Lynch does his work and his art, because that's art. And unlike David Lynch, Bray Wyatt refused to explain his promos. He refused to explain his actions. He just wanted to make people listen, understand, grasp the concept of what he was saying. Like he, and of course, like he wasn't appreciated when he was there, exactly like Bray Wyatt was. WWE sometimes didn't handle his character as well as he would hope they would. But granted, man, everything that he did, up like The Fiend, I remember, and this is something I really wanted to share on the show. During COVID, I was able to spend the night at my best friend's house, out of town. She has a kid, and he was really younger at the time, like he was 2 or 3 years old. So her and her husband were preparing lunch, and I was playing with the kid, and I started singing to him the Firefly Funhouse theme, and he was so happy because he, like, of course he didn't know what that was about, but like I started just singing. It's a kid song. It's a child song. Like it's meant to sound like that. And because, like, of course he didn't know what that was about, but like he adored the song. And then I remember like seeing videos of parents making a video of their kids, like they were dancing every time the thing came along. It was such a wonderful thing. It was, yeah.
So
The thing is, I'm not finished,
I know,
Rob.
sorry.
Let
Oh,
me
I
finish sobbing.
go ahead.
I feel like, and that's extremely my viewing of the situation. I feel like ever since Brodie Lee passed away, Bray Wyatt could, like Wyndham, he could never find peace with himself. In any way, like I felt like nothing was ever okay. And of course, 100% I may be wrong, but like it's just so heartbreaking because on the other side, the incredible romantic in me, and that's like the romantic in me always comes out when in situations like that, because it's a defense mechanism to preserve my well-being. The romantic in me just hopes that they're together, whatever they are, and just hugging and everything. And no matter what religion you preach, I will say this. Whatever he is right now, that place is so not ready for the chaos that he's about to bring with the Firefly Funhouse, whatever he is. I cannot fathom. Like they have no idea what they're getting themselves into. But it's really happy and disappointing at the same time to see how this entire community comes together every time that something like this happens. I wish it wasn't only when stuff like that happened. Swerve Strickland said the same thing on Twitter last night. He said so. And I just want to say that it's absolutely okay if you weren't a fan of Bray Wyatt, the wrestler, to mourn his death. Because that's a person dying. Like that's a person leaving behind kids, children, and a wife and a family. So don't go attacking people who are mourning that were, vocal about not liking Bray Wyatt, the wrestler, because it's okay to mourn the passing of someone. Also, you can never, even if you never liked Bray Wyatt, the wrestler, you couldn't, like, no one can doubt and put a question for the incredible impact that he's beautiful, beautiful mind had in this sport and in the business as a whole. So the wrestling community coming together for this, I know that this would make him incredibly happy and like he's smiling somewhere, I hope. But I just at this time, knowing where I'm traveling to tomorrow, I would hope that the entire Wembley Stadium, 80 plus thousand people, they just like turn the lights down and everyone can turn on their camera and we can, you know, do the firefly, the buzzers, the firefly funhouse thing as a tribute to a wonderful, beautiful mind.
That would be amazing. We got some super chats that I'll read. And again, guys, as you can see on the bottom of the screen, all donations from super chats and humper chats from will go to the Rotunda family. So all proceeds, basically, I'm going to fix that. But all proceeds will go to the Rotunda family. Corey Michaels, our good friend who Maggie talked about, says, "We're really glad that you're our friend and this friendship that'll never, ever end." Ryan Sullivan says, "Can't stay for this one. Have a work meeting, but saw your message or saw you were donating chats. So here we are. Safe travels, Maggie."
Thank you, Ryan. Sweetie.
Caden, losing Bray, Brody, and Jay in a few years really effing hurts. Give people their flowers while they're here and celebrate the legends with us. Absolutely. So.
And the white rabbits, that's
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he had three white rabbits there. It's tough. Last night, like a lot of people, I kind of paid attention to Twitter to see what people were saying, like tribute wise. And I also watched a lot of YouTube videos. I watched his return at Extreme Rules probably three or four times. I watched this.
Man, that chills,
Yeah.
chills.
I watched the SmackDown two or three times, and the third time I had to just leave it because it was just hard. Like I mean, I teared up. I mean, who? I don't. I cried, and it's the same with wrestlers. I was talking to a friend last night, and he says it's one of those things when we lose people that we really like, that we don't know, it hits differently. And
It's as
the
if
thing
we've
is,
lost a loved one. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Yeah, it's
oh.
as if you've lost someone that because like they've impacted your life so much. And it's just, yeah, please.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. And today I'm going to try to read as many comments as I can, guys. So this one got me here. Bell says, "I remember Bray saying on Instagram when Brody passed, 'Save me a seat next to you, wherever you are. That's where I belong.' And I know that they've reunited in that wrestling ring in the sky." And I'll be honest, it took me a few. I didn't think of that right away. I didn't think of Brody at really. That was not on my mind. I was thinking about JoJo and his kids and his dad, Mike, aka IRS, and his brother Bo, and just the whole family. I mean, that's a big family. Like,
Yeah.
wrestling, Barry Windham was part of it. Just and how many people love Bray Wyatt and how many people loved like his family. I mean, this is and you also had Terry Funk, who we'll talk about here shortly too. And we lost two icons this week, and it's something. It's hard to believe. And I told somebody in a instant mess or district or district a DM that
District message.
I said, well, yeah, I said, I just basically said, if there's somebody that you want to watch over Bray where he's at, Terry Funk's a good person to do it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said.
Hardcore legend.
Yeah. So I'm. They got a heck of a tag team out there. And Chris sends us a super chat. Our good friend Chris Mueller. He says, "Hug your friend and tell them that you love them." Absolutely.
Absolutely right.
Guys, then and put your comments in. Put in your brave comments. Put in your Terry Funk moment comments. We're gonna try to. I'm gonna try to read them as best I can. So, yeah. But it's hard. It's a tough day.
Yeah, it's gladly I saw no negative comments about this, but like it probably it can be my Twitter.
No,
actually. And I really don't want this to go unnoticed. The fact that I am so incredibly grateful to be working for Fightful, having in mind how incredibly well Sean handled this entire situation. I this is the same thing I messaged him today. I'm incredibly proud of him and the way he handles business, because this was absolutely the right way to do it. He had zero interest in putting out there like information that did not concern him. Mm-hmm. And anyone's health is no one's concern. Everything that he put out there was exactly the information that we needed to know. And having in mind that every week in every show that Sean was a part of, there was a question about Bray Wyatt. How's Bray Wyatt? When is he returning? And it's really awfully weird that we're never going to get these questions anymore.
Yeah.
And I saw a comment from a friend, Kenny, for your thoughts on Twitter. Uh-huh. He shared that almost everywhere in the timeline he saw people demanding for Bray Wyatt to be inducted in the 2024 Hall of Fame. And he said, well, wait a minute, like he's 36 years old, he's really young. And then he remembered that he actually passed away. And this is your brain comprehending that a 36-year-old person like passed away. This is way, way too young, especially like this is 36 is way too young for heart issues. This is way too young for anything like whatsoever. Like I adore Terry Funk. He was a Hall of Famer. He had a wonderful career. Bray Wyatt was at his peak. I'm so sad. I'm incredibly sad about Terry Funk's passing, but like he left a legacy behind him. But imagine how much Bray Wyatt could have done if he were still here. You know, the thing, one of the last things I will remember for Bray as a wrestler, that everyone crapped on that Mountain Dew match, right? on the Rumble. But then on the media scrum, you see him come out as Wyndham, and he was just so incredibly happy. He was so filled with joy that he was able to perform in front of the people who showered him with love the moment he returned to the ring. And like that speech he gave, you know, at SmackDown after his return, like you can tell that he did not expect an ovation like this. He was stunned. Yeah, like you can tell. Like Bray Wyatt is an amazing actor, but he could not mask that. And yeah. On that media scrum, like you can tell that he was the person who said that he was always up for experimenting, because like if you're not, like what are you doing? And that's exactly right. And like every time I remember that match, like say what you want to say about the match, but when I remember the match, I immediately remember that media scrum and the way he handled himself on the table, and like each and every question, and that smile on his face. I could never forget that smile. After, like, he knew damn well that people did not enjoy the match, but like he performed. He was there, like, to hell with everything, that like the way the match was handled, to hell with the match itself and like everything. It's like, the at the end of the day, the right people were in this match. Say what you want to say about Bray. Beautiful, wonderful mind. He'll be incredibly missed. I cannot express you just how much it hurts right now talking about this.
Yeah, that's tough. We have another super chat. This one, thank you, Ronald. He says, the biggest program and angle I loved in WWE was the first face-off of the Wyatts and the Shield in their match at Elimination Chamber. And it hurt so much to know two great humans in general are not here. Rest in peace to Bray and Brody. I was at that match. It was at the Target Center.
Man, that place blew out. It blew.
It was something. Elimination Chamber. It was one of the greatest matches I've seen. And
yeah,
I'm speechless. And I know, guys, today is like one of those days you're not getting the normal coexisting, and that's okay. You know, we're allowed to have our days like this.
Yeah. It's obvious to say that Bray Wyatt, Wyndham is our Cooper factor this week.
Yeah.
We're sorry for not mentioning this earlier, but like, forgive us for that.
If you're okay, I just want to read some of these comments because I said I would.
Mm-hmm.
Spent says, Bray Wyatt passing, my head has gone. It's so sad. D-Lo says, love you, Rob. Love you, Maggie. Love you, everyone. And know you guys are loved. He says he's at work. Can't think straight.
I'm so sorry, sweetie. I know, like, this is, like, the world is a bit emptier today. And yeah.
Thank you, Scott. Frantic says, hey, Rob, Maggie, chat, rest in peace to Terry and Bray. Dawn says, still trying to make sense of this all. So young, he hadn't even reached his peak yet. There will never be another like him.
There will never, never, ever. Like, his way of storytelling, it was something, it was different. Whether you liked it or not, it was just different. And it was something, like, your eyes were glued. It, yeah. Like, he got over a QR code, for crying out loud.
And I hate like, QR codes, and my ass was doing that.
Triple H had a microphone with a QR code on it. Like, this was so funny.
Amanda says, hi, guys. Sending love and light to you guys. It's been a rough week for the wrestling world. That it has.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
And everybody that's saying hi in the chat, thank you. We appreciate you very much. Belle says, I remember Bray saying on Instagram. Oh, okay. I read that one earlier. Sorry. Corey says, Bray was the voice of those who felt they were not listened to. And in a collective darkness, he lit up the sky like a firefly, a brightness that flickered as hope.
Oh, well, there you go. Those were the words I was talking about, Corey. Thank you. I just calmed myself down.
D'Lo says, D'Lo Diggs, honestly, my greatest memory was seeing the Wyatt vignette in NXT. And man, I was excited for
his debut. Days. Yeah.
Days like this, as much as it is hard, I know wrestling heaven is amazing right now. I did see somebody put that wrestling has a great roster right now. Wrestling heaven has an amazing.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man, that match between the Wyatt family and Shield, like, you know, you darn well know that shit is about to hit the fan when the crowd starts chanting, holy shit, and this is awesome, before they've even touched each other.
Yeah. And tonight, I think Sean tweeted it earlier, or maybe somebody else did. But tonight, from what I understand, there won't be like any storylines progressing on SmackDown. I think it's pretty much going to be a tribute show to, overall, it's going to be a tribute show to Bray, but it's also going to feature some Terry Funk stuff as well. I'm very sure about that.
I imagine it will be like the Brody Lee tribute Dynamite.
I would think so, something like that. I mean, it's, and by no means am I saying that is official. I'm just going based on WWE history. Because I'm not going to mention the person. Well, it's history, so I might as well. This is Bray Wyatt's the first person on the WWE roster that passed away since Benoit, but the last one that we truly like, Eddie Guerrero was the one that they both messed us up, but we didn't know about Benoit when that happened, obviously, and I'm not going to talk about him anymore, but this is the first one that's gone, and it's just
it truly does, and it is unfair. It truly is unfair, and I know that each and every person who went through this will not want people to mourn, like be upset and cry and just I just know that they will want us to celebrate them by, you know, speaking and talking about all the wonderful stuff that they did and just remembering them with wrestling because it was their passion and it was their love.
Yeah.
But it's just not fair. I mean, it's again one of those instances when you say COVID fucking sucks. It's incredibly hard. Incredibly, incredibly hard. And I mentioned this to Rob before we got on the air. I've had immense anxiety for 2 weeks now because of the trip that I'm having tomorrow. I'm traveling to All In because I'm going to be at Wembley Stadium for Sunday's show. This did it. Like, I'm just... Everything just seems so small right now compared to what we're talking about right now. And it just puts stuff into perspective. And now I realize that I owe it to Wyndham to have the most fun time in London I can ever have.
You'll be there. I've heard stories about him, and the thing is, the one thing that he was a huge horror movie buff. Like, he loved, and you could tell with The Fiend, and that was something that
I'd like to think that he was a Slipknot fan, but like this.
I'm willing to bet he was. I mean,
no, the same person who like made Corey Taylor's mask made his mask. So
Oh, Tom Savini. So yeah, it's tough, let's.
Well, you're keeping better more than I am, so that's...
Well, I think I let it all out last night, because like I said, I watched YouTube videos, and it was just tough. I mean, I watched... Every time, like, those lights go out, like with Bray, like, even before he did was The Fiend, just how they would... I don't know, like, the cut they would call that, but, like, where they just kind of go... You know, like, basically kind of goes into the camera and like says something, like, yeah, just how the crowd just reacts to that, just everything. You know, they
lose their minds, absolutely lose their minds.
And
just let him in. Just let him in.
Yeah, let him in. And then the thing is about the whole world in his hands. The thing is he had the crowd in his hands.
Exactly.
It's just amazing.
Exactly.
Don says, Mike Rome posted how much he loved talking horror with him. And I know Mike Rome loves horror movies too, because I've seen those on Instagram talking. And he's actually good friends with Fightful's Alexis Cardoza. So
Cardoza.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool that they got to talk, and he will be missed. And I know my heart's to the whole WWE crew tonight. I know it's going to be a hard show for them, and then all his friends.
Show's going to suck. And I mean, like, you know what I mean by suck.
Yeah, and all his friends across the world, the ones that are not in AEW anymore, the ones that are in AEW, independent, the ones that have retired, the ones that remember him running around when he was a kid. Like, they remember, I mean, the Usos basically, I think it was the Usos say that they remember hanging out with him when they were kids, like sometimes backstage at shows.
Yeah, you know? And like everyone kept sharing stories about like how much Wyndham helped them, you know, build their character and everything. Like Leo Rush, even. Like this was just so incredibly amazing. And the thing, you know, this is the weirdest thing. The first memory, the first thing that pops into my head was anyone but you, Roman, anyone but you. And that whole storyline of Bray Wyatt costing Roman Reigns the Money in the Bank. And then that whole entire feud. I mean, I know in the end, like, people might remember either the Mountain Dew match or the Hell in a Cell match with Seth and that huge hammer. But, like, I know, like, it's, again, they didn't handle his character really well. I think all of us would agree that that character never needed a championship belt. Mm-hmm. He never did. But this was one of the few instances where they struck while the iron was hot. Like, they struck the title on him because he was the biggest thing in that company at the moment. Because that first Fiend entrance was a thing of beauty. And, I mean, to this day, why are you?
I was, when you said that, I remembered, like, being at the, you remember when he was attacking the Legends, like, when he first started?
Yeah.
Like, I was at the show when he attacked Jerry Lawler, and I remember I was, like, the only one, like, yeah! Like, I'm the only one back. I'm like, do it for this! Do it for that! And I just was like...
I know, I get it.
Powerbomb! But... Just... Don't stop!
Yeah. I loved when he did the claw. I, like, this suited him so much. I'm gonna spend like when I return from London, I'm gonna spend some time with his matches, like a lot of time with his matches because I have some days off. But it's just, I know that he's smiling somewhere. I know he is. He'll be missed terribly, terribly missed.
Gonna read a few more of these comments. Scott says, I watched WrestleMania 30 earlier today against John Cena.
My God,
that was my favorite Bray entrance and match.
Oh my God, like WrestleMania, like that Firefly Funhouse match with John Cena at WrestleMania. Yeah. Jesus Christ, how awesome was that? Wasn't that WrestleMania 31?
It might have been. I don't remember. Oh no, it wasn't 30. That was
Becky Lynch and Seth over Brock.
That was like 35, I think. 36. WrestleMania 35 or 36.
Yeah, right? it was the COVID WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why they were able. The thing, Rob, the things that he got away with in that match, the thing he got away, like the moment I literally heard the entire word gasp when they showed the Vince McMahon puppet.
Yeah.
I heard everyone and I woke up. I swear. he got away with so much in this entire match. Jesus Christ, I'm going to watch this match.
Yeah. John Barker, who you'll see next week, or in a few days, rather. Tomorrow? Or will you see him
tomorrow?
The day?
Tomorrow. He's picking me up from Victoria.
There you go. There you go. You'll see him tomorrow. He says, I saw Big E talking about him being the first person that talked to him when he joined joined in 2007. NXT. Yeah.
Oh, in 2000. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's see here. Got another super chat here. I'll go ahead and read this one. I can't even imagine what it is like backstage at SmackDown right now. The emotion, the tears, the stories. I have a box of tissues ready for tonight. Yes. Corey says, despite how he was handled, shows like tonight display how much he truly meant and how valued he was. Yes. And we have another super chat. Thank you, Ronald. He says, another favorite Bray moment for me was when him and Randy were the sole survivors for Team SmackDown.
My favorite. Oh my God, yes.
2016 Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
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 By the way, just to throw it out there, I adored Bray Wyatt's tattoos. Like that brush thing that he has on one of his biceps. This actually inspired me for a specific tattoo, and now I'm getting it. Like, I'm totally getting it.
Yeah.
But I adore the style of tattoos that he had.
I hope it's better than the tattoo I got. I got Fightful down on my lower back.
Yeah, so, sure.
Yeah,
like a tramp stamp.
Yep. Yeah. Fightful. Yeah, that's what I did.
How much did Jimmy Van pay you for that?
I actually paid him to let me do it. So.
Oh yeah. Stupid. Makes sense.
Bill says tonight may be the one and only time I say Braun Strowman should be on TV. On the real though, the SmackDown is really going to be like we're hearing. It's going to be, I'm going to break down. I don't know how many people got to see the Owen Hart Raw after he died. That messed me up big time. I didn't go to school the next day. But that was because I loved Owen Hart so much. And it's, this one's going to be tough. And the thing is, there were so many different times that got me last night. I had Miro's video.
Miro's video
that he did on Instagram. You could tell he was just hurting, and it's just so tough. And Scott says that was the first match I referenced. Dawn says WrestleMania 36 feels like it was so long ago, and yet it was like yesterday. Yeah. D'Lo Diggs says, just saw Kim Orton Instagram post, and man, I wonder about Randy Orton and how he is doing. Yeah, Randy loved that man. He was a big fan.
He adored that man. Having in mind how few people Randy actually likes, know. So like that makes you think just how special Wyndham was. They were really weird tag team together.
Yeah.
But it was really weird. But then again, so was him and Woken Matt. But he touched so many lives. Like he was in a weird tag team with so many people, and like somehow all of them worked. Like it's really, really puzzling.
Yeah. Let's talk about Terry Funk now. Terry Funk, I know a lot of the newer wrestling fans don't know him as well, but they've heard of him. He,
such as myself, actually,
is an icon like you would not believe. The matches that he's been in, the reason why he played such a big part in my life is because when I got into wrestling, he was a guy that I saw all the time. On my TV, he's a Texan, or I mean, he was born in Indiana, but I mean, when you think of Terry Funk, you think of Texas wrestling and stuff like that. But Terry Funk, I watched him all the time, like wrestle, and he had a big, like huge impact on my wrestling fandom when I was younger, like teenage years. And the reason I say that is because I've talked about it on this show. I've talked about it with other people. I was huge into tape trading. I was big into that. I mean, I spent my, like, when I worked at stores, like when I was 16, like I was spending a lot of my money on tapes, like trading and stuff like that. And one of the first tapes I bought was IWA's King of the Deathmatch 1995 tournament. That's the one that you see the footage of him and Mick Foley. I've never seen anything like that match. And I bought the commercial copy, meaning that I did not buy the like copies of it. I bought the actual one that you could buy like at a store. So what I did was there was a website basically out of Japan, not Japan, Puerto Rico, actually. I think it was Puerto Rico. Somewhere. It's been over 20 years since I bought it. But anyways, I bought it and I would make copies of that tape and use that for basically trade bait, you know, because I had such a good copy. Now, I know some people might know this, but basically, if you have a commercial copy and you make a recording, you're going to get the best technically copy you can make, almost. I mean, for the most part. Yeah. But if you basically, if I trade a tape that's already copied, that next person is going to get not the best quality. So since I
had, it's just like a downward spiral.
Yeah. So I had like the best one you could get. So mine like was really popular. Like I traded it a lot. Yeah. I mean, but it was a big thing. It, like, yeah, good
of
for
course,
me. But
good worked. For you.
But that's the thing. Like I was a 16-year-old kid selling.
Oh, that was really big for you.
Yeah, I was selling, but I was the thing is this is where I can't thank him enough, because of him, I was selling videotapes to college kids at Florida State University because of this, because they wanted to see this. This was like very popular stuff. Like even to
look at the pirate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Arr. No. Yeah,
naturally.
Arr. But anyways, but I mean,
there you go.
Yeah. Eventually I started trading them for Jenna Jameson tapes. So everything went downhill, but anyways,
naturally.
Yeah. More ways than one. Anyways. But like just him, Mick Foley, FMW, like New Japan, Jushin Thunder Liger, like all these guys, just he played a big part. And then ECW, he went to ECW, and then he was Chainsaw Charlie, like again, or not again, but he came into WWF during the Attitude Era, and just the amount of matches I've seen that man in, and like, it's hard to believe that we lost two amazing people. And he, to give you like an idea of how popular this man was, my mom actually knows who this guy is. And she, but that's because of like where he lived in Texas. She grew up in that area and he was a really popular name. Because he lived in a town called Amarillo, and where she lived was not too far. And basically, when you're the only person with a big name, people know who you are there. But
yeah,
and the thing is I don't listen to much country music. There's only a few songs that I
no
like.
One shouldn't.
Well, there's a song from George Strait called "Amarillo by Morning," and anytime I hear that song, the first person I think about is Terry Funk. Every time. And so it's just one of those things where Terry Funk had a big part in my life. And you go back to the King of the Ring 98, where you see him just losing his mind with Mankind, Mick Foley, like, what are you doing, man? And you see Mick Foley pushing him off with that smile and just going, and I it's been a horrible
hardcore legends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like there is a reason for Christopher Daniels, you know, old CD. There was this bit on BT for a lot of episodes where before he started brawling with someone, he would say Terry Funk. So, like, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, no, it's So Terry Funk, Louis, I believe it's Louis. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. So Terry Funk was in two of the top 10 movies of all time, Over the
Isn't
Top and Roadhouse.
Louisville?
It might be. I can't. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm sorry if I. But yeah,
two. Correct us in the chat, sweetie.
Yeah, let us know. I don't want to butcher it next time. Yeah, two of the greatest, two of the top tens of all time for sure. Roadhouse. Do you ever watch Family Guy?
I know what's it about, but I prefer American Dad to Family Guy.
Well,
but like the humor is really weird, having in mind that I'm a South Park girl.
Okay.
But like it's a bit different.
There's an episode where Peter Griffin walks around and he basically does a roundhouse kick, or he kicks people in the face, and he just, after he does it, he says Roadhouse, and I'll just say that like out of the blue.
That is so Peter Griffin.
Yeah, I know. Like, but I'll just say that out of the blue sometimes. Roadhouse. Roadhouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie, by the way, I love that movie. That was Kelly Preston. Yeah, buddy. Or was it Kelly? I think it was Kelly Preston. Maybe it was Kelly Lynch. I can't remember. Either way. Good times. Yeah, we went from that. Thank you, Terry Funk, for those memories.
Yes.
Man. But thank you, Terry Funk. Thank you, Bray Wyatt. Again, guys, all the donations from Super Chats and Humper Chats today will go to the Rotunda family. All proceeds will go to that. So just so you're aware. But Maggie, should we talk about a little bit about All In?
Yes, we have just about enough time to talk about All In, because like I said, I'm absolutely sure that both Terry Funk and Wyndham would want us to enjoy wrestling after we've paid our respects. Again, people, let's do the Firefly Funhouse at Wembley Stadium. You have no idea. There will be zero dry eyes in that entire stadium. Seriously. I'll be crying from the very beginning because apparently I can't take a bag in Wembley. But like that's like a totally different thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. It sucks. But like on like when you think about it, it's incredibly logical. Because imagine searching 83,000+ bags.
Yeah.
Like, that's not gonna happen.
No.
Yeah.
That's true. And because of all the craziness, I didn't go and grab the different photos. So, sorry, guys.
It's absolutely fine. Let's start us off. AEW All In will be at Wembley Stadium, London, England. And I'm going. So let's start with the two matches that are going to be on the pre-show. Yeah, they officially announced the second match, so we can talk about it, Rob, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's Aussie Open against MJF and Adam Cole. So, there was friction at the end of Dynamite. So, I really liked your theory concerning the Kingdom and Roderick Strong.
Oh.
Yeah, because like during the night, both Adam Cole and MJF had individual interviews with Renee Paquette.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Cole a bit lost his shit for a little while. Like they showed both MJF and Adam Cole different patterns of there being friction in that team. MJF kept his cool, but Adam Cole lost it. So I think thou protects too much, Adam Cole. So yes, your theory was practically Adam Cole, the Kingdom, and Roderick Strong working together. And breaking MJF before the main event.
You know, like something that came to me yesterday. I was producing the prediction show for Stephanie Chase and John Alba, something that came to me is, I'm not saying it'll happen, but something that, could completely, I could see happening is, I could see MJF actually be the one that kind of teams up with them, like instead of Adam Cole. Could you see that?
Yeah, I can see everything in this. Like I can see everything happening. I can even see them winning those Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships. I can even see that, because how would that go? Like in that instance, how would that possibly go? Like them having a match, and at what point does Adam Cole turn on MJF? At what point?
Yeah.
Because like it's really weird. Like, I have so much faith in them because Adam Cole and MJF is the hottest thing in AEW right now. So I'm not ready for them to split up. But then again, what else are we gonna do?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I have no idea. But MJF and Adam Cole, I don't see them winning those championships.
Yeah, there's I just hope don't. And he does really good at not, well, I should say he does really good. I don't think he really does. I think it's 50-50. But they must have a plan, because otherwise, why would you book yourself into a corner like this? So, you know.
Yeah, because like you said, like you're putting your main event in jeopardy by, you know, them having another match and them like risking an injury or, you know, some sprayers or some sort. They obviously have a lot of faith in them. This is an interesting match. Also, it's Aussie Open.
Yeah.
It's, okay. Yeah. Like, they're gonna, like, the kangaroo kick and everything, double clothesline, whatever.
Do you think they get the double clothesline off? I think they do. I mean,
and then one of them turns on the other.
I think that, but I think Aussie Open kicks out of it, but...
Yeah, it's kind of a stupid move.
It is. I mean, that's the thing.
It is a really stupid move. Like, imagine, this will be good. Like, them hyping this so much and making this big thing, and they're like, excuse me, too?
Yeah.
Stupid move. Yeah, I get it.
Well, before we go to... Eric friends want to say hi, and thoughts are with the Funks and the Rotundas. I hope Maggie has a blast it all in. And Rob, thanks for the birthday shout-out. On Twitter or X. Hey man, yeah, happy belated birthday. Yesterday was his birthday.
My god, sweetie, I'm so sorry I missed it. Happy birthday. Thank you so much for the support. Like, it means so much to us. You have no idea. I hope you enjoy the wrestling weekend. Also hug everyone that you love, please. We're hugging you, definitely.
Yeah. I think Aussie Open gets the victory here, but
yeah.
Just because, like, you know, the one thing that we like is we like to watch things burn. So part of me just wants to watch MJF and Adam Cole win, but it just doesn't. I don't know. It's
the story's hot, okay?
Yeah.
It's really hot storyline.
Yeah.
The second match that we're getting on the pre-show is Jack Perry versus Hook for the FTW Championship. I don't see Jack Perry losing the championship right now, but he did say that he's going to retire it.
This is what I think happens. I think Hook wins it. He retires it, and he hands it to his dad. He's like, okay, it's done.
Oh, well, I'm going to cry for a totally different reason then.
Well, I'm not saying he does it tomorrow or on Sunday, but I'm just saying that's how he retires it. He just gives it to his dad. He's like, here, you know, that's how it goes.
I froze, right?
Yeah, but that's okay. But I have Hook winning.
I have Jack Perry. No, Hook can't possibly lose at Wembley. Like, that crowd's gonna burn the stadium down.
Well, I hope you get out of it first. Get out.
Yeah, I really. Yeah, sure.
I'll
be one of the burners. Okay.
Okay.
Hook can't. Okay. Yeah. Like you. You're right. Hook wins. Like, everyone will riot. I'm afraid of that crowd, okay? Like, I know what these people do at football games. Mm-hmm. hook, okay? Like, that's fine. Like, there'll be a lot of hookers there, so like that's they're gonna have a cow, okay? Moving on to the main card of the show, we have the AEW World Trios Championships, House of Black versus the badass Billy Gunn and the Acclaim. So Billy Gunn returned on Dynamite to save the Acclaimed. And he said that, you know, fun-loving Billy Gunn isn't there, but I know badass Billy Gunn's there. And I'm like, I didn't know there was a difference.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Go ahead.
I didn't know if there was a difference between the two Billy Gunns. Are you kidding me? They're practically the same.
I wonder if... I know WWE like let a lot of music rights go recently. I wonder if Tony picked up that. If Tony picked up Billy Gunn's old music.
Yeah, well, I suppose he's going to come out with the Acclaim. But yeah, that's a wonderful shout out.
God,
that'll be great. But while we're talking about this, my friend Philip, who's traveling with me, he was most excited for the Oh Scissor Me Daddy chant at Wembley Stadium. And when they split up, like not split up, but like weren't a thing anymore, I was like, oh, Philip, I'm so sorry. And now it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's, imagine Oh Scissor Me Daddy sung by British people. Like that's so.
Yeah. And I'm going to go on the record just so everybody knows this. I am an ass man. So there you go.
Everyone's an ass man. I'm an ass man.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Everyone's
an
ass man.
Who do you have winning this?
House of Black, please. Like, I love the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, but like, please, that's no. Like, House of Black can't lose this. No.
I think House of Black wins, but more than anything that I want out of this is I really want goth district. I want goth Billy Gunn, dark goth. I want him to dye his hair. I want him to like join the House of Black where he's like has the black hair, the see-through mesh black t-shirt. And
oh, he could get his nipples pierced.
Yeah, nipples pierced. Do go all out. Like,
oh no, wait, he already does. He has his nipple pierced, right? Oh, I'm sure he does.
To be honest, I
will not be surprised if he does. He totally looks like a man with pierced nipples.
You know, I've never looked to see if any guy's nipples have been pierced. But if you do find out, we should be the nipple piercing leader on Fightful. That way we at least know. That way if people want to know if somebody's nipples pierced, we can tell them. But yeah. So I think House of Black wins, but would it shock me if the Acclaimed wins? Absolutely not. Because I think that would be a hell of a moment. At Wembley, I do think that would be a hell of a moment.
Oh,
for
man,
the crowd.
He doesn't have pierced nipples. That's a shame.
I want to know where did you just Google that, or did you go to like piercednipples.com or something? Where they?
No, I Googled that. Billy Gunn, please pierce your nipples because it will suit you when you join the House of Black. So carry on.
There's wiki feet and wiki piercings. There you go. That's a brilliant idea. For the people that brought you Fightful Select and Fightful Overbooks, we bring you
Fistful Select.
Wow. Well, that's a different website too. But Wiki Nipples.
Like we've gone from the entire different pole
I know.
Of the show.
Now coexisting is back.
Yeah, now we're back. Like we spent around 15 minutes like being normal human beings, like you know, with empathy and affection and everything. And now we're talking about nipples.
We're back. Yeah.
Snoopy, just so you know, that was for you. Next up, we have the coffin match, which is such a weird thing, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have Darby Allin and Sting versus Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage. Let me start off by saying that Christian Cage is a menace.
Yes. I love it.
He is such a naughty man.
He is so awful that I absolutely love it.
I love this. Like, he's having such a wonderful time right now. Like, this should become his thing. Oh, you have a father? And then he starts.
Yeah, that would be great. He's like, I wonder who we're gonna fight next. And he's like, hey, do you have a dad?
Hey, yeah. You have a dad? Like,
yeah. Goes to the next person. Do you have a dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. Okay, me and you.
Yeah,
fight.
Okay. Is he still out for cigarette? Yeah.
I want to. So, the thing I want more than anything, I want his daughter to go out, like, come out. Like, can I hold your title? Just.
Can I hold you? Go away! Like, secure it! Yeah. So, yeah.
Go find your mother.
Go find your mother. Go, like, go clean the kitchen. Wow. Make me some pie.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah. So, the reason why this match is weird, because A.R. Fox got pinned in the match on Dynamite. And Swerve Strickland said, bye!
Bye.
And yeah, kicked him out of the Mogul Embassy. And World this out. Is weird because, yeah, sure. And apparently, A.R. Fox was never, you know, supposed to be in the match to begin with, because it was known that he couldn't, like, it was brought to our attention that he hadn't wrestled a match outside of the US since 2016. So this was probably known from the very beginning, but, like, it's such a weird thing. And A.R. Fox, I mean, he just turned heel and now he's back as face. That's the first thing. And the second thing, like, A.R. Fox almost murders Nick Wayne and Darby Allin after a week or two, max 2 weeks. He was like, I don't care what you did, I love you. And, like, Nick Wayne was like, like, he almost murdered me. This is so weird. This is the weird angle. I'm happy that I get to see Sting wrestle, and that's the end of my happiness, because this makes zero sense to me. But again, I will not judge, because this is my first ever wrestling event. I don't care. I don't care what the card is. I'm just stoked to see wrestling. So I am not the right person to ask if the show was good or not. I will always love the show, regardless. So yeah, really weird match. Obviously, Darby Allin and Sting will win this. There is a lot of people speculating that Edge is gonna come out of the coffin. That's not happening, guys. Like, just calm down.
Yeah, they're not,
like,
gonna
don't
do that.
Get your panties in a bunch. Keep your titties in safe place. Like, it's not happening.
Wow.
Like, go pierce your nipples. It's not happening.
Jesus. Yeah, by the way, I mean, that's the part that's ridiculous about Edge being in a coffin. You don't want to do that. You want him to go out there to get that crowd reaction. Like,
yeah, of like, course you do. Like, why would you come out of a coffin?
Yeah, no, there's no way you would do that.
Yeah.
For F's sake.
You're wasting an Edge debut. With a coffin match. Yeah, so do you have Darby and Sting?
Yeah, I have Darby and Sting.
So no, next up, let's talk about the match that totally won me over in this week's Dynamite, and that's Will Ospreay versus Chris Jericho.
Wow, I'm glad it won you over. That's good.
Those guys are such professionals, Rob, that they actually got me incredibly pumped for this match. Let me be the one to say that Chris Jericho, kudos to the guy. He was working as a heel during this entire promo, and the crowd was cheering him, and they were booing Will Ospreay, having in mind that Will Ospreay was such a sweetheart. He said that he had a stepson and then called him his son. Mm-hmm. I could not stress this enough. Like, the amount of guy friends that I have saying that they want to get together with a woman that has a child, a young child, and the woman saying that she doesn't want any children, and they were like, she has a kid, but if I get together with her, I won't have kids. And I'm like, no, you will have a kid.
Oh yeah, we've
and they were like, no, I won't have a child. And I'm like, no, you will have a child, you asshole. Like, you're going to be taking care of, well, it's not my sperm, dude. Like, that's not. Welcome to coexisting. We're back. That stuff is so frustrating to me. You have no idea.
Like, sometimes you have to swallow your pride.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Welcome back, Rob. So This is so frustrating, guys. It doesn't matter. Like, it's such a huge burden to be a father. Just, like, take care of the child. Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, so I hope Will Ospreay wins this because the fact that I'm pumped for the match doesn't excuse Chris Jericho winning it.
Here's something that John wanted to add. He goes, for added context, Will Ospreay's stepson was her husband passed away 2 years ago, and Will stepped up as they were good friends. Cool. And we do have another super chat here. Ronald sent us a super chat. Gangrel should be in the coffin. That'd be badass.
Oh my God.
But I have, I love the comment that Will made. He's going to have beat Omega, Okada, Jericho in what, did he say a 2 month span or 3 months? I can't remember what he said, but
yeah.
Holy crap.
Ever since Forbidden Door. Yeah, Forbidden Door was it last month?
June, I think.
June. Yeah, okay, in 2 months. So in two months, he's going to be the three goats of wrestling. So how can you deny that? And like, in 2 months span. Thank you, John. How can you not give Will Ospreay the win? And he did talk about his contract with New Japan expiring in 6 months, right?
Yeah, 2024. Yeah, sometime.
2024. Like, if you're any wrestling company, you would put all your money on the table to get Will Ospreay. I don't know.
Him and MJF, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what wrestlers like Will Ospreay and MJF would look like in WWE. That's a tough thing to imagine because we're so used to them being so unapologetically themselves and everything that they would like to. I mean, Will Ospreay can do a promo without saying cunt all the time. Like, imagine that being on WWE. Like, that's...
Mom, what's that? Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's... Yeah, hopefully I have Will Ospreay because this is, again, one of those matches that I'm... fearful if that specific person loses, what will like happen?
And John says that Ospreay's going to get a huge pop, and yeah, he will.
Yeah, yeah,
him and Jericho will get a huge pop. I mean,
yeah,
that's a thing too, Maggie. You get to listen to Fozzie. Fozzie will be there.
Oh yeah, I'll be peeing or getting chicken tenders. Like, I don't care. I mean, we all need a pee break, okay?
I know, but
like, I'm not getting Jeff Jarrett on the show, so when am I going to pee?
Yet. We're going to make it happen.
Shut your mouth.
I like it when you talk dirty.
Next up. Okay. Next up, we have the AEW World Tag Team Championship. FTR versus the Young Bucks. The rubber match, Rob. Okay, so this is a tough one. Because before last week, I would have bet all my money on FTR. But having in mind what happened, you know, the whole situation surrounding Cash Wheeler, I'm not so sure. Like, we don't have all our facts straight. So does Tony Khan, like he said himself on the media call. So... As a whole, I'm glad that we get to see this match because for a while I was wondering if we're ever going to get it because of, you know, travel and stuff. But this is probably the hardest match to predict from this card for me. I'm still going to go with FTR.
Okay.
I still am because I still feel like Proud and Powerful should be the one to dethrone FTR. But we are going to talk about Santana and Ortiz in a while. Okay. It's a bit kind of iffy on that front. So it's not actually set in stone. But that sit-down interview that they had with Renee, both teams, that was so great. And like I adore how Matt Jackson he basically put Dax on the spot. You know, you're always talking about your daughter. We get it. You have a daughter and everything. And I'm like, well he's kind of right. Like Dax is so proud of his daughter.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
We adore that kid. every each and every one of us adore that kid. And like Matt and Nick have like two or three children. Like Matt has two, Nick has three. Like neither of them like talk about them like at all. Most of all because like people are being weird on the internet.
Yeah.
A lot when it comes to Matt and Nick, because like they don't keep their mouths shut and they don't have to. But yeah, I still have FTR here, but the match is going to be so incredibly awesome. And that crowd is going to be split right in the middle.
Yeah, it's yeah. And I agree with what you said as of last week. I thought it was FTR. However, because of what did happen, I think that does change, isn't it? I do think that changes things, and I do think the Young Bucks get this victory.
Hey, listen, I will never be mad about the Young Bucks holding titles. I adore the Young Bucks. They are in my heart forever. I love the Elite. I won't be mad, seriously. I just want to watch a good match. Like, the winner, we're the winner. I'm the winner, okay? It's me. I'm the winner. Like, I really don't care.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Stadium Stampede match. Oh, holy crap. Like, imagine if I'm peeing in the middle of this match and I go, like, I exit the toilet and Eddie Kingston spears me. Like,
okay. You know, I don't want you to get hurt, but I'd be okay watching. I'd be okay seeing this. Just like,
I know.
I think it'd be great because
I would love that. That would be so wonderful.
We would
so,
say, yeah. Tony, we demand Maggie won't sue AEW, but we demand,
I will not sue. I demand Eddie Kingston spears me. Okay.
No, we demand that we get to interview him. We get to have him on our show. That's our,
yeah, sure.
Even though I have nothing to do with it because you're the one that got hurt. Yeah. I'm making demands because you're the one that
absolutely. Got injured. Yeah, it's I'll take a bullet for the team. Like, come on. Okay. Like, it's, yeah, I'm totally fine. So it's Eddie Kingston, Orange Cassidy, Best Friends, and Penta versus BCC and Santana and Ortiz. So basically, Ray Phoenix got injured by the BCC. And then, like, that's actually the thing that makes it a 5-on-5 as opposed to 6-on-6. They injured Phoenix. I hate that, by the way. I really hate that Phoenix is injured. Naturally, he's not. He can't leave the country. And all of a sudden, Santana and Ortiz can come back and start, you know, attacking Eddie Kingston and shit, because like the last thing we saw was, you know, Ortiz and Eddie like having an argument and beating each other up because of the House of Black. So storytelling, am I right? Like who the hell forgets? So I'm so pumped for this. I'm so pumped for this because I will never, every time I remember the first ever Stadium Stampede match at Double or Nothing 2020. It's this pay-per-view is still to this day one of my all-time favorites because it was the pandemic. It was right before my birthday, and it was such an amazing thing to watch. And it was so funny, like Santana and Ortiz like trying to drown Matt Hardy, and them reading, you know,
they had a camera in the water. Jesus.
I know, that was so great. I adore that. And a part of me always wished the Stadium Stampede matches were like pre-taped just so we can have that kind of spectacle. Matt Jackson doing the forever suplexes on the field. That's, oh my God. Like, that's,
who was that he did? Was that Sammy Guevara that he was doing that to? I can't remember who it was.
Oh, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Sammy Guevara. Yeah, like Sammy Guevara had really memorable, you know, stuff during the pandemic era, you know, with the card, with the golf card and everything. Yeah. Jesus, I love the Stadium Stampede match. I hope that they do this justice. It's Wembley and they have a lot of room.
Yeah.
They do. I have no idea who wins, by the way. This probably BCC and Santana Ortiz.
Yeah, that's who I'm going with. I think they get the victory.
Yeah, I hate that Eddie Kingston was gonna lose. Like he didn't win the G1, but like I kind of hope that he would win here. But yeah, I'm betting on BCC and Santana and Ortiz. Having in mind, by the way, that this is a match that, like, it's not a normal like tag match or anything. Like, they can afford to lose. That's how I view this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that anyone would lose if they get, you know, pinned in the match.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that serious. That's what I meant, because it's all about the spectacle here.
Yeah. Well, I think if somebody on, this is the way I look at it. If somebody on like Orange Cassidy team loses, Chuck Taylor or Trent Barretta is probably going to get pinned. And then like,
yeah, but did you see like Orange Cassidy's interview with Denise?
No, I haven't yet.
It was so funny. Do you know what he said? He said, "I'm looking forward to Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta doing all the work in this match because I don't want to do this."
Yeah, I heard she had a lot of she did a lot of interviews basically.
Well, Denise is gonna work like.
Yeah.
I would expect nothing else from her, nothing less. Like she's been in London for 3 days now. So she went there to, you know, to be sure that she did some sightseeing there, and then she would bust her ass. Like she always does. Hardest working person in media.
Faux show.
Yeah. Next up, we have the women's four-way for the AEW Women's World Championship. No, this is the match where I go to get chicken tenders. Get it? Because it's the women's match. We love you, Kate. Yeah, we have Hikaru Shida versus Toni Storm versus Saraya and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Saraya's getting this win.
Is she?
She is. She's going to win this title. She's going to get that pop. She's going to get that pop. There you go. Merry Christmas. And you know what? She deserves it. Give it to her.
Of course she deserves it. Like, she's done so much for women's wrestling. I will never deny that. I just want to see either Hikaru Shida retain here or Toni Storm get the title. I don't think Toni Storm is getting the title, come think of it, because that whole thing that she's doing on Collision is so working for me. Like the depressed Marilyn Monroe. I love this. I like with the curls in her hair and everything. That's so great. I adore that. So I see what you're saying. Saraya may.
Yeah. And like, I get this. She's only wrestled 4 matches, and that's the thing. She could win it and lose it within 2 weeks or at All Out.
Yeah. But like, hear me out. Like, them hot potatoing the women's championship isn't the right way to build a women's division. That's what I'm saying.
That is true, but... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Have it in mind, how does Ring of Honor have more wonderful women's storylines than AEW? Tell me this.
Because they can... I can't because I got nothing. I'm speechless. There you go. But yeah, the one thing I'll say is it's kind of like what Sean said last year about like Sheamus, or not Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, like not being Roman. You could have used that footage for years. I think.
Oh my God. Are you saying that Saraya's going to sing Bye Bye Miss American Pie at the end of
the show? Yes, exactly. She's going to win the title and sing Don McLean, whatever it is, Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, something bullshit. But, no, I just think this is the moment you can get good footage.
And then AJ Lee comes out.
Yep.
Because her contract because her contract with WOW expired. Holy fucking shit. Imagine if AJ Lee debuts at Wembley. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The fountain goes off. That GIF you
always play. Don't care. I don't care. I like one giant leap because I'm up in the poor seats, of course, like because I'm poor. one leap and I'm going to go in that ring and hug her forever. Yeah. I don't care. Sue me.
Yep. Looks like it'll be coexisting with Rob next week.
With Rob and someone new, probably. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Hikaru Shida retaining here.
All right, I got Saraya. I think this might be the biggest pay-per-view that we've had the most like different answers for. I don't think we've ever.
Yeah,
had
because we're usually coexisting. Okay, so the next match we have is for the real AEW Championship: CM Punk versus Samoa Joe.
CM Punk's getting this win.
Of course he's winning. Of course he's winning. I don't understand why people keep saying he's a face. Like, he defaced the real championship.
Yeah, this
one. That is straight edge society all over again. Come on. He's a heel.
Yeah, this is like basically heel versus heel, you know, like even though pretty much I think everybody's rooting for Samoa. I mean, non CM Punk fan. Well, this is duh, but anybody, I think a lot more people are going to be rooting for Samoa Joe than people think, you know.
Well, have in mind that this is CM Punk for the first time in the UK in a long, long time. So he will get a tremendous pop, I assure you, because CM Punk even if people have stopped loving him as much as they used to, he's still an attraction. Having in mind, I was one of the biggest CM Punk fans out there. With everything that's happened, I dialed it down a lot. And I would still pop immensely because it's my first time seeing, everything confidentially. But it's CM Punk. I will lose my mind. Absolutely. But yeah, CM Punk is only winning this match. Next up, we have the Golden Elite, Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Adam Page versus Kenoshita Takeshita and Bullet Club Gold, Juice Robinson, and Jay White.
No way in hell the Golden Elite lose this match. Nope. No way in hell they lose this. Take it to the bank.
Okay.
Yep. There's no way in hell. I would be shocked. This is
probably this is probably, you know, you meant to say that this is your easiest pick.
Yeah, that's mine.
I adore everything that Bullet Club Gold is doing on Collision. It's their show. It's their show. CM Punk thinks it's his show. It's not Punk. Yeah. It's Bullet Club Gold's show.
I've fallen in love with Juice Robinson. Like I just absolutely adore the guy.
He's such a sweetheart.
He's on TV.
That was a V-trigger. That was my V-trigger.
The fact that they love the standee more than they like Jay White just kills me.
It appeared out of nowhere, and I'm like, oh my God, look.
Yeah.
It's just so incredibly funny. Like, wrestling is so silly, Rob. I love this.
I know,
so
it's
much.
Great. When
it's absolutely great. You're right. The Golden Elite have to win here. Kota Ibushi being in both All-Ins is so great. But somehow this has to set up Kenny Omega versus Takeshita at All Out. I'm absolutely sure that this is what we're getting. But I'm so pumped for this match. I'm going to see Kenny Omega live, Rob.
Yeah. There's another. Kenny Omega. So you're going to get arrested twice now. So that's good.
Yeah, because there's no Wardlow on the show. And whose fault is that?
Tony Khan's.
Yeah. There's also no Miro on the card.
Tony Khan's.
Yeah.
You might get arrested three times if you see Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Well, should we go to the main event here? AEW World Championship.
Sure. AEW World Championship, MJF versus Adam Cole. This is a really tough one, Rob. I would imagine that MJF... I don't know what I imagine, Rob.
I don't know who I am. Yeah. This one's tough, but I'm going with MJF. I don't think they're going to take that title off of him yet. I want Adam Cole. I mean, don't get me wrong. Either guy's going to win. I just think they're going to keep that title on MJF. What do you think?
I'm so not sure. That's the thing. I have no idea, Rob. I'm sorry. I have no idea. You know, the safe bet is the bet on MJF.
Yeah.
But I just want to, I'm just interested to see what leads to that. I want to see what happens. I want to see the match itself. I want to see how they start the match, you know, the storytelling within the match with their tag team bout before that.
Yeah.
This is the right match to main event the show because of the huge storyline they're in. I just hope that they set up the card correctly. Just like, because if the Golden Elite versus like Bullet Club Gold and Takeshita is right before this match, the crowd is going to be really like drained. But having like seeing the whole card itself, I'm going to be drained after the pre-show. So like, so that's saying something. I don't know. This, I don't care. Like everyone crapping on the card. It's a wonderful card. Get like grow up. Okay, just grow up.
Yep, just grow up. So,
the Wicked Witch of the East. Okay, just grow up.
I got MJF, but yeah, I mean, this week didn't get to review like the normal shows like we normally do, but that's because it was a different week. But guys, we want to say thank you.
Let's plug Coexist and After Dark.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, well, actually, in about 30 minutes from now, you'll be able to watch Coexisting After Dark. Our great guest, none other than the taxi driver from BBC. Yeah, BBC, right?
Yeah,
BBC,
yeah, that's Radio. Correct.
I say that a lot. BBC Radio out of Newcastle and Cultaholics, Tom Campbell.
We adore Tom so much. If we can have Tom every week on the show, we would. But here's the thing, like, we always adore wholesomeness on the show, and that's why there's a reason people are guests for the second time on our show. Tom is one of the great British blokes in Twitter, in wrestling media, blokes. By the way, I'm pretty sure that I'm allowed to call everyone a wanker from tomorrow until Tuesday, so...
There you go.
I hope I said that correctly, by the way. Wanker. Yeah. Wanker.
I think so. It sounded right.
Yeah. So nothing sounds right, Rob.
Well, I said
it did.
I don't know.
Yeah. So we adore Tom. There was so much fuckery on this episode. Just go subscribe to Fightful Select. This is such a wonderful way to support everything that Sean does and the rest of the Fightful team does. Again, props to Sean for everything that he did in the last 24 hours. I could never imagine what it's like filling his shoes. I really hope that I never get to, because I will not survive this. Yeah, so this is the most wonderful way to support us. Just subscribe to Fightful Select. It's our bread and butter. So subscribe and watch or listen to Coexist and After Dark with Tom Campbell. We adore Tom once again. Shall we plug, Rob?
Yeah, let's plug our shit.
Yes, guys, you can follow me on X, Twitter, or whatever, at Maggie_IK, and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. See everything that I post at Wembley if I get my roaming, stuff out of the way, and because technology hates me, I probably won't. So there you go.
Nice. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X or Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it, on Instagram at Fightful Rob, on Threads at Fightful Rob. Also, this Sunday, my first show with Cam, aka Seahawk, Cameron Hawkins. It is called My Point Is. It's going to be at 11 a.m. Eastern, right before, it's an hour before, All In 0 Hour. So check it out. Cam Hawkins, he's awesome, aka at Seahawk on Twitter. You've probably seen him. He's an amazing guy. Great
Are you
guy.
Doing a pre-show?
A pre-show is probably going to be tomorrow night, I'm guessing. So I'm guessing that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about doing it after Collision. So after mm-hmm. they're done. But guys, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. I want to say thank you for being a part of this show, listening to us, sharing your memories of Mr. Bray Wyatt and Mr. Terry Funk. It was an emotional show, and we can't thank you enough for tuning in. And
let me just really politely cut you off right here, Rob, and say that first of all, thank you for all donations for tonight. But I personally would like to thank each and every one of you for the donations that you did for us. And for the show, like during the time when I mentioned that I was saving money for All In, and each and every one of you chimed in. I know like Bulgaria and the entire rest of the world has really different standards when it comes to money. The amount of money I make for a month, like people in London make for a week. So like that's that's the like drastic like difference in income that we had. So you guys supporting us, it means the world to me, and I wouldn't have done it if it weren't for all of you wonderful people. I adore you, and I can't wait to talk on the show next week about all my experience.
Yeah, next week we get to see how everything went. So we'll talk about that. SportsCenter sends us a super chat just waving hi. What's up, my friend? Nice. Thank you. We appreciate you. And guys, again, all your super chats, and we didn't have any Humper chats today, but all your super chats will be donated. Proceeds will be donated to the Rotunda family, and just want to say thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. So thank you. And some of you, we will see you tomorrow night possibly for the All In pre-show. I'm planning on doing it after AEW Collision post-show. And then hopefully I see some of you on Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern on the main Fightful channel as me and Seahawk do our new show called My Point Is. So thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you very soon.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.